the Payments Weekender. I'm Karen Webster. While the dress made its rounds on social media for its changing colors, the fraudsters made their own rounds, this time visiting the iTunes store, Apple Pay, and Apple the retailer itself in colors that no one could possibly see. Which if you ask Sean Sarkissian, the CEO of Cortex MCP, shouldn't come as any big surprise. Why? Because to use his words, fraud never sleeps. This week I caught up with a few of the top players in payments to get their take on Apple Pay and fraud, words we never thought we'd ever hear in the same sentence, especially given its use of a secure element and a robust and creative network tokenization scheme. So this is what Shant had to say about all of it and why he's not as excited about tokens as the rest of the payments world.
And what you've almost really done now is given somebody the ability to kind of take card-not-present fraud and very quickly migrate that to the card-present world, right? And really turn that mobile device into a credit card manufacturing device. I think a lot of times what they've looked at with Apple Pay and some of the arguments they made initially, the flaw of these systems is around tokenization, but saying that we're going to use that once we, you know, use your regular account, we're then going to provision a proxy token on the phone, which is certainly the valuable right way to do it. But the weakest way is the boarding process. They're still saying you can take, you know, this regular card number, which is still your account number, which is still how you register with iTunes and so on and so forth. And that's the channel that these are kind of coming in with. So I think if you look at any system, including even the Target breach, how did the Target breach happen? It wasn't because guys were really cracking heavy encryption. It was an HVAC contractor that they gave the codes to that they shouldn't have. And it's human error that kind of caused some of these things. And it's always that weakest point. It gets exposed, and I think this is certainly no different.
But what we've learned from the accounts of the fraud now taking place using Apple Pay accounts is that the actual act of transacting using Apple Pay hasn't been compromised at all. The security message that was so much a part of the Apple Pay selling proposition, using Apple Pay is safer than using a plastic card taken from a leather wallet, still rings true. And according to Kim Fitzsimmons, president of Chase Commerce Solutions here in the U.S., it's helping getting consumers comfortable overall using their mobile phones instead of cards with Apple Pay, as well as its own mobile payment solution, Chase Pay.
One of the things that I think they've done with their security and talking about security as they launched Apple Pay is getting the consumer a little bit more comfortable with the thought of using their phone and the fact that it's possibly be more secure than just carrying a wallet. Certainly, Apple has the name, they have the handsets, they have the brand awareness and the loyalty from the X, Y, and Z generation. So they are, I think, doing what is best right now as far as just passing on engaging conversations. So I think it's a learning experience for all of us, but we're certainly engaged with them on a day-to-day basis.
But as Kim points out, watching what consumers are doing with mobile payments and learning from it is critical to getting even more adoption. Learning is also quite critical for those in the cybersecurity field who aren't necessarily learning from consumers, but from those who are trying to attack our payment systems. That's what Michael Reitblatt, the founder and CEO of Forter, had to say when I spoke with him. Forter, a fraud prevention company that actually hires criminologists who get inside the minds of the cyber criminal in order to stay one step ahead, says that the cyber criminals are learning a lot from us too.
Surprisingly, they're monitoring us. I'm pretty sure they're reading all the same blogs, and they know what the next innovation Apple will release to be able to go and find it. It's quite amazing how quickly, from the time that the new product is released, someone finds the next one. Sometimes
wow.
It's a matter of hours. Fraudsters are probably smarter than everyone else, but luckily they're limited in numbers. So they adapt quicker, and what they're here to do is to find the weakest link everywhere. So Apple may come up with the best solution, but there is some other weak link in the chain that the fraudster will use. Because once you have an in, you can exploit it over time. So it doesn't matter what Apple does, it matters how good their basic authentication method is. It's probably, part of it is a bank issue, part of it is the way they accept credit cards, in order to make it as easy as possible for the user. So Apple is as much at fault as they are not.
So how do we protect ourselves from the fraudsters who always seem to be able to find that weak link? Shant Sarkissian has the answer. Ditch the 16-digit account number.
There's that pendulum between security security and usability, right? We can go out there and say, you know, how it's very simple. You log in and we make it very easy and frictionless for the customer, but you are going to compromise the system when you do that. And I think that consumers are getting a little more willing to jump through maybe a few additional hoops if they know, in fact, that it is going to truly be secure, right? EMB, it's not really solving a lot of these issues, right? It's a band-aid around the fact that you still have that 16-digit numbering system. I think the industry needs to take a deeper look. While tokenization is going to be what drives it, and it's going to drive us going forward, certainly a big part of what we do at Cortex, but I think we have to also think about, you know, getting farther away from the reliance on that card number as an account number, and nothing more than a set of routing instructions, which is what it's really intended to be, not really your account number. And look at other ways we authenticate board customers and even treat their account core account numbers, whether it's with the bank or the card network, in a much different way. And so I think it's part of the evolution.
So unfortunately, no silver bullets, but lots of bright ideas for how to stay a step ahead and keep our payment system secure. Stay tuned to our weekly updates on Payments Weekender to find out more, or pay us a visit at payments.com. That's payments without the vowels. If there's something you want to talk to me about, send me a tweet or find me on LinkedIn and send me an email. And yes, we'll be talking about this and a lot more at the Innovation Project coming up on March the 18th and the 19th. I hope to see you there. But until then, have a great week.